My nose is itchy, Dirk. I don't know why my nose is itchy.
We cut it. It's fine.
Did you just, like, maybe your dirt pollen is getting in the air and itching my nose? I didn't snort cocaine. I didn't. I was just, you're making me itchy here. Where was I?
The spiritual next level.
Oh, spiritual next level. Thank you, Dirt. Thank you, Dirt. Yes, spiritual next level. Welcome to Aggressive Life. Every time I do a Q&A on Instagram, about half or more than half of the questions are about marriage. And what I also find interesting is if you look at the Google queries, how to be a better husband is two times more popular than how to be a better wife. Now, maybe that's because wives are Googling that for their husbands. I don't know. I don't think so. But I figured I'd just talk about marriage for a little bit, maybe from the man's perspective, since that's what gets asked most often. If you want to be a better husband, it starts off with this. You have to recognize, you have to realize the most important team you will ever be on is the one with your wife. Bar none, far and away, the most important decision you make in your life is going to be who to get married to. Don't get married to your soulmate because you'll never get married because you won't find one. Just make sure you get married to somebody who has the potential to double your impact instead of cut your impact in half. That's the one. And the second most important thing is, will I choose to spend energy to build my marriage? Now, I want to go on the deep end for you for a little bit here because this is some stuff that maybe you might not be interested in, but is really important. What is it that you want out of a marriage? The marriage rates are going down, which may be a good thing because that means that the divorce rates have been going down as well. But why have the marriage rates been going down? I believe it's because we have an unhealthy expectation of what marriage is supposed to be. We think what marriage is supposed to be is making me happy. And if I'm pretty happy the way I am right now, why should I get married? And to even further extend that logic, if I believe that my marriage is going to bring more complication to my life, more complication always means a less enjoyable life, right? I mean, who wants more car payments? Who wants more obligation to their calendar? All that sort of stuff. I don't think we're understanding marriage the way we should be. We should be understanding it this way. It is a covenant, like a blood covenant, where two people are coming together and saying, I'm not going to leave you. How comforting it is when someone vows before a room full of people, before God, or shoot, even before a justice of the peace, vow, till death do us part in sickness and in health, richer or for poorer, this is my solemn vow. When you give that vow, and your spouse gives that to you, and you believe it. You believe that you mean that, and you believe that they mean that. Oh man, the covering that it is to know that you have a friend who's not going to move away, get transferred to some other city, and then the friendship is hard to follow up on. You have somebody who you're probably attracted to them because they're different from you. That's why we're attracted. Opposites attract, and if you don't understand the concept of team, then opposites attack. We're attracted to somebody, not because they're carbon copies of us. We're attracted to them because they probably have something that we don't have, which simultaneously will drive us crazy and make our life more potent. Lib and I are pretty much exact opposite. And I don't mean just body parts, but I mean outlook of life. She is an introvert. She would prefer to stay in and just always stay in. I am an extrovert. I enjoy staying in, but I need to get out and about much, much more. She is an internal processor and it takes time. I am an immediate verbal processor. Like, I got to get it out. Got to say it right now. Do it. She stews on things. She thinks through things. I act on things before I think about things. She is sensitive to people's feelings. I'm sensitive to the job that needs to get done. These are very opposing viewpoints, but we also, We need each other, and we flourished as a result of it. So you've got to make sure that you and your marriage are the most important team, and you know that it's the most important team that you'll ever have, which should lead you to make certain decisions. One of them being that you need to be planning around that team. I mean, no football team, baseball team, golf team, business team, whatever. Just says we're going to come into the office and hang out and hope that we make money or hope that we win. Doesn't work that way. You know, you have to have certain plays that you run if you're an athletic team. You have to have a certain planning strategy if you're a business team. And it's shocking how many people really have no strategy when it comes to their marriage. We just assume that we're going to marry somebody who's our soulmate and therefore everything's going to be easy. It can't. You have a strategy. What is that? Is that strategy first of the year? You sit down and you calendar for your whole year. Lib and I don't do that, but I know people who do, and they do it really, really well. What's important to us, let's put it in the calendar. What's your strategy around your finances? Do you have a strategy around your finances? What's your strategy around your friends? Are you mindful of the friends that you're having in your life? Are you mindful of the people who are very draining and very energizing? You know, the very energizing people, these are the ones that you want to do dinners with and you want to do vacations with. If they're not very energizing, you never want to do that, because you could do a lunch with somebody, but reserve your dinners and your vacations for the very energizing, important people. Because once you have one dinner, there's always a reciprocation. Once you go on one vacation, there's always another one. How do you get out of it if it's a somewhat draining person? So you have to be thoughtful. Who is it that we're giving certain amounts of time to? These things are critical for you to be a better husband. Oftentimes I hear some Christian women say, I wish my husband was a leader of the home. I wish he was a leader of the home. And what they oftentimes mean by that is, I would like to have more Bible study and I would like my husband to lead that. Whenever someone says to me, they have said it to the wrong person. Because then I say, well, I guess I couldn't be the spiritual leader in your home because I only led two Bible studies ever with my family, and I only did two because everyone cried at the end of both of them. No lie, ask my kids. I'm pretty good at the Bible, but when it came to like leading family Bibles, I sucked at it. It was horrible. I don't know what happened, but I still led my family. I didn't have the traditional family devotions where we went through that, and maybe I should have worked at it more and done it better. But no one in my family would say I didn't lead it because I was intentional. I was thinking about where we were going to vacation. I was thinking about when I would go do errands, taking my kids with me. I never went to Home Depot without a kid. Didn't matter what I had to do, I took them there. All these were things that served my wife and served our marriage. So what are you planning out? Now, here's the deeper level. Just stop right now if you don't want to go to the next level, and specifically the spiritual next level. This is really, really important. My nose is itchy, Dirt. I don't know why my nose is itchy.
We cut it. It's fine.
Did you just, like, maybe your dirt pollen is getting in the air and itching my nose? I didn't snort cocaine. I didn't. I was just, you're making me itchy here. Where was I?
The spiritual next level.
Oh, spiritual next level. Thank you, Dirt. Yes, spiritual next level. This is the spiritual level. This may not apply to you, may not be interested in this at all, but here it is. One of the best books on marriage I ever read was written decades ago by Gary Thomas, and the name of the book is Sacred Marriage. And the subtitle is, What If God Made Marriage to Make Us Holy Instead of Happy? If you're getting into marriage because you want to have a happier life, you might be disappointed because it might be more complicated. But you should be getting into marriage because you want a life that's set apart. That's what holiness means. Doesn't necessarily mean morally pure. It can be, but if you're morally pure, you're going to be set apart. Holiness means distinct, set apart, separate. That's what God is. He's not us. He's distinct, he's separate, he's set apart. That's why if we ever looked at God in the face, our face would melt off. Steven Spielberg had that really well in the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. And yet we have modern worship songs that talk about, when I look into your face, when my guys, you're not gonna gaze into God's face. You would freaking die. Stop treating God like he's your date. He's not like your loving daddy just wants to hang out with you and light candles with you and blow lilacs in your face and be your perfect date. That's not what God is. Sorry. Sorry. That's horrible, horrible theology. One time, one of the holiest people in the Bible, Elijah, he didn't even get to look at God's face. He had to go in a corner of a rock and God allowed his backside to go in front of him. God is different. He is this thing. He operates on a different level. And he wants us to operate on a different level than the average person. That means when we get married, we're in a laboratory of difficulty. We're in a laboratory of a nonstop spiritual workout where we have to ask ourselves, am I looking to please myself or am I looking to please my wife? Jesus chose to please us. The Bible says that if you're in a relationship with Jesus, you are what's known as the bride of Christ. I don't necessarily like that because I'm a guy, but we'll run with it. It's in the Bible. I am the bride of Christ and Jesus is the groom. He is the husband. I am the wife, or I'm part of the wife, myself and everybody else who's come to him, whether male or female. And what he does is he has chosen the mission that God has given him above and beyond his personal comfort in that moment. That's why he goes to a cross. So as a husband, I want to be like him. Book of Ephesians says, husbands, serve your wives as Christ served the church. He served his bride by dying for the bride. I serve my bride for dying by dying for her. And the way I die for her isn't that I step in front of a speeding bullet, though I hope that I would be able to do that if that ever happens. The way I die for her is I make choices that bless her and inconvenience me. You do that and you will be well on your way to being a great husband with a great team, and you'll be shocked how your wife rises to the occasion and becomes an even better teammate for you and gives you the ability to live a life that's 2x, 5x, 10x of your current life. Now, having said that about holiness, the point is not to have a difficult life. The point is just that God is going to call us to things that are going to be difficult and to embrace those and go through those. But we shouldn't be planning difficulty unless you want to plan to go to couples camp. That might be a little bit of difficulty for you, which, by the way, is a great thing to build your marriage. I would just ask you, what is the last thing you've done to build your marriage? I'm not talking about the last time you had a date night or the last time you watched Netflix with your wife. Like, what's the last thing you did to get content from outside of you to come in and push you and your spouse? Most people would say never. I've never done that. Maybe premarital counseling whenever I did that, or when we were on the verge of divorce, maybe you went to counseling for a little bit. But most people don't get any external help. That's what couples camp is. It's a 48-hour date to rest, laugh, and rediscover the incredible journey and incredible team that you're on. It's actually April 25th to 27th, 2025 at Base Camp. It's going to be great. You can get more information and tickets at couplescamp.us. But let me tell you something else about Couples Camp that's also relevant to your regular life. As I said, the point is not to make your life difficult. It's just got to be ready for difficulty. And one of the ways you're ready for difficulty is having fun. How do you be a great husband? Have fun. What fun things are you planning with your wife? What things are you doing for your wife? Lib and I have learned that we've got to have something good that we're looking forward to. When we had less money, it would be looking forward to going to a movie this month. I mean, if we could go to a movie once a month, like, whew, it was a lot of money for us. But it was like, we're looking forward to something. It wasn't just the fun of the movie. It was looking forward to it. Now we have more resources. We have more opportunities. We have more people who have resources. I got a friend of mine who is a boat captain. And he's rented a boat and he's got all of his certification. And we're going a little marriage retreat on this boat that he's rented down around the Caribbean with four couples. And I don't know if I'm going to like sailing or not. I've never done it. I'm actually a little bit freaked out about it because some of the most freaky movies have happened on the water. Dead Calm. I remember Dead Calm was the first movie that Nicole Kidman was in a long, 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 long time ago. Her and the guy who was in Jurassic Park. I can't remember. Sam O'Neill. Anyway, freaky movie. Billy Zane was in it too. Freaky movie, Dead Calm, like really, really freaky. Like getting shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean or something breaking down and you're adrift is a horrible idea. So I'm not really excited about that, although we're not doing a transatlantic voyage or going down to Hawaii or something like that. We're just going around the islands. We'll probably be mostly inside of an island. All I'd say, I'm not looking forward to the actual sailing itself, but it's been fun to look forward to something. It's been fun to plan for something. It's been fun to know that we have friends that we're going to be doing this with. We also do that with overlanding. We do that with whatever it is. What you and your spouse have to figure out, what is it we do for fun? And whatever your budget is, time and money, make appropriate sacrifices for that. Put your marriage first. There's things that Lib and I don't do that other marriages do. You might be shocked by this, but we didn't do anything for Valentine's Day this year for each other. In fact, got up on Valentine's morning and I went, I may as well ask her. I said, honey, did you do anything for Valentine's Day for me? She said, no, but I was going to today. I said, I'm okay to call it good if you're okay to call it good. She said, yeah, let's call it good. Didn't do anything. Christmas. We haven't exchanged Christmas presents ever since we've been married. Because in the earliest days, we just didn't have any money to buy presents for each other. And then we started to get a little bit of money. We had kids and we decided to spend on them instead of each other. So here we are 37 years later. And we just don't have the habit of celebrating Christmas, or we celebrate Christmas, but we don't trade gifts with each other. Maybe we should push back on those lack of traditions in those areas and do something about it now. But I say that to say, we don't do everything that some people do, but I'll tell you what we do. We do sit down and we do figure out what we do for ourselves, how we organize our life around it. And it's what's helped us stay together and helps us kept going forward. So do not take your marriage for granted. If you're a guy, lead the family. And when I say lead it, I'm not saying be Bible study guy or be the chart guy. I'm just saying wake up in the morning or once a week, once a month, whatever it is, and say, what can I do right now to serve my wife and serve my family? You figure out what works for you and you figure out how to serve her, and you will be shocked at how far your marriage goes and how much your life improves. Hey, sign up for Couples Camp. Would love, love, love to see you there. And we'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life. Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and more at briantome.com. My new book, a 60-day devotional called The 5 Marks of a Man, 60 Days to a Powerful Life, along with all the other books in the 5 Marks library, are open right now on Amazon. Be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Then send an email to dirt@briantome.com to get a free Aggressive Life sticker. Find more on Instagram @BrianTome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.